Perek Ches Mishnah Zayin until Perek Tes Mishnah Gimel. Afal Pusho Nosinlo, even if someone who injures someone else gives him the payment, remember we mentioned there are five different payments which someone who injures someone has to pay. Nezek, the actual damage, Tsar, the pain, Ripoy, the medical treatment, Sheves, the unemployment, and Boshes, which is paying for the embarrassment. So even if someone has paid those payments up, Eino Nimcholo, he's not considered forgiven, Achayivakesh Menu, until he actually asks the person for forgiveness. It's not enough just to do what you need to do in terms of payment. In order to get an atonement from Hashem and to be considered forgiven from this person, you actually have to ask him for mechila, for forgiveness. Shinem, as the Pozuk says, after Avimelech took Sora from Avraham, and then he got a plague, so he was returning Sora to Avraham, and Hashem tells Avimelech that Ato Hoshev Eshes V'Goymer. And now return the wife of, etc. It says the wife of Avraham. And the Pasuk continues by telling us that Avraham will daven for you, Avimelech. Meaning that you should go and ask Avraham to daven for you. If you're going to ask Avraham to daven for you, obviously you're going to start by asking his forgiveness. You're not going to have the chutzpah to tell him, daven for me without asking for forgiveness. So we see from there that Avimelech asked for forgiveness from Avraham. It says the Mishnah furthermore, how do you know that the person who is forgiven shouldn't be cruel? Meaning the person who is asked for forgiveness shouldn't refuse, he should forgive. Shenem, as the Pasuk says, Vayispal Avraham. And Elohim. Avraham did indeed daven to Hashem. He listened to Avimelech by Yirpo Elohim to Avimelech, and therefore Hashem healed Avimelech v'gomer, etc. Now, if you notice, the Pasuk does not mention the fact that Avraham forgave him. It just said that Avraham davened for him. Why? Because the Torah is trying to tell you the things which were great about Avraham. The amazing thing. Look, Avraham, not only did he forgive him, he even davened for him. The fact that it doesn't say that he forgived him is because it's obvious. It's an obligation to forgive him. So the Torah doesn't even need to tell you that Avraham forgave him, because it's an obligation, and that's how we see from that Pasuk that to forgive someone when he asks you for forgiveness is an obligation, or at least it's a very good thing to do. Says the Mishnah, Ha'omer, one who says to someone else, Sameyes eini, blind my eye, Kitayas yodvi, or cut my hand, Shavuos ragli, break my leg. If that person goes ahead and does what the person told him to do, let's say Reuven tells Shimon, cut off my hand. If Shimon goes ahead and does it, Chayev Shimon is Chayev. Because no normal person wants you to hurt them, especially to cut off something. And therefore you've got to assume that he wasn't being serious. So if you do go ahead and actually break his leg, then you'll be Chayev. In fact, if Shimon then asks Reuven, Amanas lifter, on condition that I'll actually be potter if I do this, meaning you're telling me to break your leg, I'll do it, but is that only if I'm going to be potter? So even if Reuven then says, yes, chayev, Shimon's still chayev because we still assume that Reuven is not being serious. For example, when he said, yes, I do mean that you should be potter, he could have meant like, yes, really? You really think so? And therefore, we assume that a normal person will not want you to damage him, to injure his own body, and therefore, Shimon will be chayev. The next case in the Mishnah is referring to a scenario where, let's say, Reuven gives his jug to Shimon, and he says, Shimon, watch over this for me. And Shimon says, fine, I'll take it, and Shimon has now assumed responsibility over that thing. So once Shimon has assumed responsibility, Reuven comes to Shimon and says, Shavuos Kadi, break my jug. The one you're watching over, break it. Sorry, our Mishnah also has a case of Reuven giving clothes to Shimon to watch over, and he says, Kras Ksusi, tear my clothes, or Shavuos Kadi, break my jug. In that case, again, Chayev. If Shimon goes ahead and does it, Shimon will be Chayev to pay for it. Because he's now assumed responsibility over it, and we still assume that since Reuven didn't say that I'm allowing you to do that, he wasn't actually being serious. Especially since Shimon now has responsibility over this thing. If he does break it or something, he will have to pay. However, Amnath Lifter, in this case, if Reuven says you can do it and you'll be potter, or Shimon asks, will I be potter? And Reuven says, yes, potter. In that case, Shimon will be potter because someone is more willing to allow someone to break their property and their possessions than to injure them. And therefore, if he explicitly says you can break it and you'll be potter, in that case, there's enough basis to assume he is actually being serious and therefore Shimon will be exempt. However, in any case, Aseken Ish Poloni, if Reuven tells Shimon, go and do this to so-and-so, let's call him Levi, Amnas Lifter, and you'll be potter, then obviously if Shimon goes ahead and does it, Chayef will be obligated. Whether he injures Levi's body by cutting his hand, for example, whether he injures his money, his possessions, for example, breaking his jug. I can't give permission to you to injure someone else, obviously. The mission is trying to tell us that even though Reuven told Shimon to do it, Shimon is the one who is Chayef, because we have a very important rule. Ein shliach lidvar avera. The concept of a messenger doesn't apply to sinning. So whereas usually we say, if you're my messenger, then it's like I'm doing it myself. When it comes to an avera, we don't say that, because you shouldn't listen to me. And therefore, in this case, if Shimon does go ahead and does it, he'll be chayev. Perek Ches, the last two perokim of this Masechta discuss the halachas of gezela, stealing. Now in the seventh perek we discussed geneva, and that refers to a thief who steals in private, meaning he does it very secretly, and we said that the punishment for stealing in that way is to pay back double. Hashlumei Chefel. Gezela, on the other hand, which is the subject of the last two parokim, is more of a forceful stealing. You go into someone's property and you just take something out of there. Or you force someone to give something to you, things like that. And the halacha is that if you do that, the Torah says, V'heishiv esha gezela asher gozel, all you need to do is give back the item which you stole. That's all. Not double, you just give back that item. Now the fact that the Torah says that you've got to return the gezela which you stole, it's a repetition. Gezela means something you stole. So why is it repeating that which you stole? The answer is, we learn from there that this only applies applies if the thing you stole is in the same state as it was when you stole it. But if, since you stole it, it's now changed, then you don't give back the actual item. Rather, you give back the value that it was worth at the time when you stole it. And the reason for this is because if you've now changed it, or it's been changed while it's in your domain, the Gazlan, who is the person who stole, the thief, he's now acquired it. By stealing it, and by that item changing, the thief acquires the object, and therefore he does not need to give back that thing. Rather, he needs to give back the value of that thing and how much it was worth when he stole it. So let's just get two terms clear now. Gazlan is the thief. Nigzal is the person who it was stolen from. Yeah, like Mazak and Nizak, we've got Gazlan, who is the thief, and Nigzal, who is the person who was stolen from. Hagozel eats him as on Kalim. Someone who steals wood, pieces of wood, and he makes them into utensils. Now, in order to be considered a real change, for the thief to acquire it and therefore be exempt from paying for it, it has to be an irreversible change. So if, let's say, you've got planks of wood and you just nail them together and make a table, for example, that's reversible. Just take out the nails, you've got the boards again. So this is referring to something which is irreversible. For example, you smoothen the wood, you can't unsmooth it, at least not to how it was before, and therefore that's an irreversible change. Or Tsemer, he steals wool, Vasoi Begodim, and makes that wool into clothes, he spins it, it's an irreversible change. And in these cases, not only is it an irreversible change, the new thing has a new name. It's now no longer called wool, it's called clothes. It's no longer called a piece of wood, it's called whatever utensil you make it into. And therefore, Mishalim Chasak Zela, you pay the value that it was worth the time that you stole it. Similarly, Gozal Porom Uberis, if he stole a pregnant cow, the Yolda, and after he stole it, it gave birth, Rochel Tuna. Or if he stole a ewe, E-W-E, a female sheep, which is laden with wool. And then Ugzaza, the thief, sheared the wool off the sheep. Now, these cases are sort of in between cases, because there certainly has been a significant change here, but the change hasn't been done to the actual animal. And therefore, the halacha is that you give back the actual animal, not the value, you give back the actual animal, but the sheep shearings and the child, they definitely have undergone change, and therefore they are owned by the thief, and he has to pay the value which the animals have gone down by, since they were sheared or they gave birth. So the Mishandu may poro hemedes lele, pay the value of a cow which is about to give birth. That actually means the difference between that value and the value of the animal now. And may Rochel hemedes legozes, you pay the value of the ewe which is about to be sheared. That's what it was like when you stole it. The difference between that and the value which is worth now, that is how much the robber has to pay. So again, he pays two things. The one, he pays back the actual animal, but the problem is it's worth less than it was when he stole it. So that difference he also has to pay in money. On the other hand, Gozal Porov and Isabra Etzliv Yolda. If he stole a cow and it became pregnant after he stole it and then it gave birth, or even if it didn't go give birth, the fact is the actual animal has changed because it became pregnant. Or Rochel, he stole a yuva nitano etzloi and it grew its wool once he stole it, so now he's definitely acquired the actual animal. So in this case, certainly Mishan Kshasak Zela has to pay the value that it was worth at the time that he stole it, but not the actual animal because he has acquired it through that irreversible change. Says the Mishnah Zeh Klol, this is the rule. Kol ha-gazlonim mishalim shasak zela. Every gazlan, every thief, has to pay back according to what it was when he stole it. And therefore, if it hasn't changed, he just gives back the actual thing. But if it has changed, therefore he's acquired it, he has to give back the value that it was worth when he stole it. Mishnah Beis, whereas in the previous Mishnah, the rule that if the gazlan changes the thing, then he only has to pay back the value that it was worth before. In the previous Mishnah, that was an advantage for the gazlan, because he's improved this thing, and we say he can keep that thing. All he has to pay back is the value which was worth before. In this Mishnah, we're going to have cases where it's actually a disadvantage for the gazlan. Gozal behema, if he stole an animal, vizkino, and the animal got old, avodim vizkino, or he stole servants and they got old, according to the Tanakhama, Mishalim Shasak Zela, he has to pay back the value that they were worth for the time that they were stolen, which is obviously more than now, because now they're older, they can't work as well. According to the Tanakhama, this is a real change. Just by growing older, that's a significant change. However, Meir says, ba'avodim, when it comes to servants, oimeloi, the gazlan can say to the nigzal, the person who he stole from, here is your property in front of you, meaning he can give back the actual servant. And the reason for Meir is because Rabbi Meir compares across Shas. Rabbi Meir holds that Avodim have the same status as land. So just like land, you can't acquire land by changing it. You can't really change land. Land is there. So if you steal land, you've never actually acquired it. So too, you can't acquire servants. So it's as if they became old while still being owned by the owner, and therefore all he does is just give them back because they did not change while he had stolen them. Okay, next case, Gozal Matbea Venistak. If someone stole a coin and it became cracked, this is a significant damage, significant change, or pays for a kivu, stole fruit or produce and they became rotten, yain vehechemetz, he stole wine and it became like vinegar. All these things have undergone a significant change, Mishan Shazak Zela, and also they're irreversible, so he has to pay back the value they were worth before at the time that he stole them, but not the actual thing. Again, that's a disadvantage for the gazlan because he has to pay back more than they're worth now. The following few cases are cases of Hezek She'ein nicker. Hezek she'ena nicker means damage which isn't recognizable. Technically it's damaged, but in its physical properties, it hasn't actually undergone any change. For example, matbea, if he steals a coin, venifsal, and it becomes invalid. Meaning these coins become, let's say, out of date or something. Or in this kingdom, they're now illegal. They can still be used elsewhere, but where they are now, it can't be used. The actual coin is still the same, or truma venitmes. If truma, which is the special food which goes to karnim, if it becomes tome, now, truma which becomes tome has to be burnt. However, being impure doesn't change the actual thing. Or chometz over oil of Pesach, if he steals chometz, and he keeps it over Pesach, if a Jew owns chometz over Pesach, it has to be burnt, or you just can't benefit from it. Or behema v'nev do ba'avira, if he steals an animal, and then it is used for a sin. For example, avodah zara, or an avera is done with that animal. That now makes it invalid to be bought as a carbon. Something else invalidates it from being able to be bought as a carbon. For example, it develops a mum, a blemish, which isn't so recognizable. Or the animal was sentenced to be stoned to death. For example, as we learned previously in the Masechta, it killed a person, for example, then it has to be stoned. In all these cases, there has been damage done, but the damage is not recognizable. It hasn't changed the actual thing, physically. And therefore, Omeloi, the gazlan, can say to the nigzel, here's your property in front of you. Here, you can just take it back, the actual item, because it hasn't actually changed physically. Mishnah Gimel, if you give something to workers, to craftsmen, in order to fix, but instead of fixing it, they actually ruined the thing you gave to them. In that case, Chayav L'Shalim, the craftsmen are obligated to pay for the item, because they've certainly changed it, and therefore they pay for the value of the item. However, unlike a gazlan, who would have to pay the value that it was worth at the time that he stole it, in this case, the craftsman has to pay for the current value. The reason for this is because the craftsman doesn't intend to acquire it. He's just working for the owner, and therefore the owner always owns it, which means that when he breaks it, he's breaking something which belongs to someone else. So he has to pay for the value that it was worth then. Whereas the gazlan, when he steals it, he intends to acquire it. He intends to keep it for himself, and therefore he would pay the amount it's worth at the time that it was stolen. But this craftsman has to pay the current value. Similarly, Nosan Lechorosh, if he gave a carpenter, Shido, Tevo, Migdal, a chest or a box or a cupboard, the sack in order to fix, to strengthen, for example, the kilkel, and instead of fixing it, he actually ruined it. For example, he broke it. In that case, Chayav L'Shalim, again, the craftsman will be obligated to pay the value, and not the value that it was worth originally, but the value that it was worth at the time that he broke it. So, for example, in a case where a person gave the craftsman just wood, told him to make something out of it, and then the craftsman made something out of it, and then he broke it, it would make a big difference whether he has to pay the original amount, just the piece of wood, the value of the wood, or the value of the thing that it is now. And we say that he has to pay the current value, which is much more. There's a mission of Habanai, a builder, Shekibel of Lister Sakoisel. He accepts upon himself the job to take down a wall. And in so doing, Vishiros Havonim, he broke the stones, Shehizik, or he did other damage through dismantling the wall. In that case, Chayav L'Shalim is obligated to pay for the damage or for the stones which he broke, because all he was supposed to do was take down the wall. And this actually comes back to a principle we've had originally early on in the Masechta, namely that Odom Muad L'Olam, a person is always considered a Muad. He is entirely responsible for his actions, and therefore he should have been more careful, and therefore he is Chayav in this case. What happens if he was dismantling the wall on this side, but not from Tzad Acher, and on the other side, the wall suddenly falls down and does damage? In that case, Potter, this person's exempt because it's not his fault. He wasn't even working on that part of the wall, and therefore we say he's not responsible. It was out of his control. However, if it's directly a result of his blow to the wall, his hitting the wall on the other side, then in that case he is obligated because it is his fault, and he should have been more careful because, again, a person is always considered a muad and entirely responsible for his actions and the damage which he causes.